Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hello and welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Crime with Holly. It's your girl, Holly, and I hope that you had an incredible week. I just want to start off by saying thank you so much to everyone who listened to last week's episode. The amount of feedback that I got this week on Megan as a guest host was absolutely amazing, and I am just so glad that so many of you guys enjoyed her style and have since gone on to follow her show. Every time that someone sent me a message singing her praises, I made sure to send it to her, and she was stoked to know that you guys enjoyed her content. Like I always say, supporting small creators and hyping them up means the absolute world. With that said, speaking of a hype girl, shout out to Kendra this week for gassing me up and signing up for my Patreon. So thank you, Miss Kendra, for making me feel super special and joining the fam. If y'all want to be like my girl Kendra and make a girl feel like $1 million, you can sign up for my Patreon family for just $2 a month by visiting www.patreon.com/crimewithholly or the link in the description of this episode. And you too can also listen to every single episode without any of those pesky ads and support me and my big dream. As you all can tell from the title of today's episode, we have another unsolved case. I always briefly mention that I know people don't always want to hear unsolved or missing persons cases. However, I want to use my voice and my platform to spread awareness, so that includes sharing unsolved cases. There is so much power in sharing these stories, and the answers are out there. It's just a matter of finding the right people to hear the story to come forward with information. Today's case is one that has been unsolved for nearly 3 decades. For this case, the answers are there, and the authorities have a strong suspicion on what they think happened and who is responsible. But a lack of evidence or a confession is what has kept this case as an open, cold case. The information on this case is fairly limited, so this is going to be an episode on the shorter side, but I do hope that any extra exposure for this case is going to help in some way. Families deserve justice no matter how long it takes, and I will keep fighting to help be a voice for those who can no longer have a voice. So let's get into the details of this case. Today's case is coming out of Kansas and is on the unsolved murder of Jody Bordeaux. Jody Lynn Bordeaux was born in Lincoln, Nebraska on August 11, 1969, and her maiden name was Campbell. I couldn't really find any information on Jody's childhood or much about her family, but I do know that while she was attending college at the University of Lincoln, Nebraska, she met Sean Bordeaux, and the two of them got married in 1995 in South Dakota, where Sean was originally from. After they were wedded, the two moved into a small farmhouse that was located on the Kickapoo Indian Reservation in Powhatan, Kansas. Now, Powhatan, Kansas is teeny tiny. And I know I often say that about some of these small towns that I cover in different cases and how they have like 2,000 people. You guys like to often correct me that 2,000 people is not a small town. But this time, I truly mean it. Powhatan is microscopic. According to the Wikipedia page about Powhatan, it is a city in Brown County, Kansas, and as of the 2020 census, the population was just 69. Back in 1990, the population was 111, so it's slowly getting smaller and smaller. But I will say that this little town has some pretty cool history. It was founded in 1877 and was named after the father of Pocahontas, who resided in Jamestown, Virginia. So that's just a little neat tidbit there for you about Powhatan. As I said, Jody and her new husband, Sean, were living on the Kickapoo Indian Reservation because Sean was part Lakota Indian. However, Jody was not Native at all. At the time of her death, both Jody and Sean were working at the Golden Eagle Casino, which was the very first Native-owned casino in that area. This casino was a big deal at that time because it had a huge potential to bring in a lot of money for the tribe. Not only did it rake in millions of dollars each year, but it also opened up a lot of job opportunities for the tribe's people, which is a great and tremendous help for those living within this community. Life was going really well for Jody and Sean. They were happily married, they're settled into this cute little farmhouse in Kansas, they've got these jobs that are going really well, and finally they decided that they were ready to begin a family just 2 years after being married. But after several miscarriages, Jody and Sean had to seek out some fertility treatment because of those miscarriages and other complications that they were having with getting pregnant. And after just a few months of treatments, Jody finally became pregnant again, but this time she got far enough along that she found out that she was having a baby girl. And according to the Find a Grave for Jody, they were planning to name her Jordan Shea. Naturally, Sean and Jody were ecstatic. People who knew Jody recalled her just being this beaming and radiant woman while being pregnant. She was just so happy about this pregnancy and with how life was going that those who knew and loved her could just feel her happiness when they were around her. Things in life were picture perfect. Not only was Jody pregnant and deemed safe from that scary window of time where miscarriages are more likely, she also had just received a promotion at the casino. Prior to this promotion, she was just a regular worker, and I couldn't find out where exactly within the casino that she was working, but when she got her promotion, she became the supervisor of the slot machine department, which was a pretty big deal. She was extremely excited about this, and she took her job very seriously. She worked hard to maintain the slot machine area, and she made sure that customers were happy and that things were running smoothly. People recall that it appeared that Jody was running the entire place. But like in most career fields, promotions also bring out some jealousy and resentment from other coworkers. According to her husband, Sean, in an episode of Unsolved Mysteries, this was something that they were dealing with. They were dealing with some pretty serious workplace jealousy. One of the reasons it was believed that there was so much jealousy going on was due to the fact that Jody and Sean were not a part of the Kickapoo tribe. And to top it off, Jody wasn't Native at all. So many people believed that because Jody was given this position of power as a white woman and her husband wasn't even Kickapoo, that this rubbed a lot of people on the Kickapoo reservation wrong. With Jody in a management position, that means that she had to make reports on some of her employees, if they were late to work, if they had a bad attitude, and so on. Now, there was this one individual that Jody had a ton of issues with. These problems range from just pure disrespect towards her, attitude with her and other employees. This individual was constantly late, constantly missing work, and so much more. And at first, Jody handled it with just verbal warnings, but when things weren't getting better and only seemed like they were getting worse, she had to write this employee up, and she had to follow their policies and procedures that were mandated for her job. Now, even though Jody was in a management position, she couldn't just call the shots as far as the firing of someone. That decision and all final decisions had to be made by the casino management board that consisted of tribal council members. Jody had enough of this employee and his disrespect that she took it to the management board. This employee was called in to speak with the board for review, and they felt like Jody's complaints were valid enough that they reprimanded him and put him on probation. And even though he was put on probation and told that he needed to do better, he continued to be a problem for Jody and for other staff members as well, so he was terminated. A few weeks after this employee was fired, he brought a grievance against Jody directly to the tribal council, and this complaint ended up costing Jody her job. Sean states that he fully believes that this was done out of vengeance and that it was completely out of line. So he and Jody decided to fight back and petition for her to get her job back. Over the span of a few months, they worked to petition this, and they were hopeful that the tribal council would reconsider their decision and give her her job back. When people heard that it was a possibility that Jody was going to be hired back, the news spread around quickly. And it was just after this got around that things started to get weird at the Bordeaux home. First, it started with random phone calls at all hours of the night. And I'm not sure if the person on the other line ever said anything, but from my understanding, these calls were just eerily quiet, or the person would just hang up immediately. These phone calls made Jody really on edge. She felt like the nature of the calls was threatening and weird, and she was completely uncomfortable by it. Sean, however, didn't think much of it. He didn't think that any of this would escalate the way that it did. After the phone calls started, Jody also began hearing things outside of the house. Jody was sure that someone was outside of the home lurking around their property. But Sean just assured her that it was likely a raccoon or a coyote scurrying around. He kept reassuring her that she had nothing to be afraid of and that there was nobody outside of their home. I said earlier that they lived in a farmhouse on the Kickapoo Reservation, and it was a pretty secluded area. They had neighbors, but the homes were so far apart and so spread out that it wasn't likely that a neighbor could have seen or heard anything suspicious because they just weren't close enough. While Sean thought that there was nothing to fear, Jody was sensing a real threat, and things would only escalate further.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
On the night of November 21st, 1997, 28-year-old Jody Bordeaux was enjoying a quiet evening at home with her husband. The two were watching TV and discussing bills that they had to pay, when suddenly the Bordeaux dog began barking like crazy and ran towards the back door, barking at the back porch. Sean got up to see what was going on with the dog. He said that the next thing that he heard was popping sounds that was right behind his head, and then it sounded like a 20-pack of firecrackers were going off. Shot after shot after shot went blazing throughout the Bordeaux home. When the shot started firing, Jody ran for the bedroom, and she turned back to look towards Sean's direction to see if he was okay. At that very moment, one bullet had entered the bedroom and struck Jody in the head, just above her eyebrow on the left side, instantly killing her. When the shots were finished and it seemed like they weren't going to start up again, Sean went looking for his wife. He found Jody on the bedroom floor, and unfortunately, she was already gone. When he had rushed to Jody's side, he heard the sound of a car taking off away from the home. Sean knew that his wife was gone and instantly called 911 in hopes to be able to save his unborn daughter. But because where they lived was so rural, the paramedics and ambulance were unable to make it there in time. Sean talks about how his wife didn't suffer, but it kills him to know that his baby girl died a very slow death inside of her own mother's womb. Sean said that he kissed his wife's pregnant belly and said goodbye to their daughter. The news traveled fast about Jody's murder, and the rumors began to circulate. According to CJ Online, the names of 3 or 4 people who may be responsible kept surfacing. Many people on the reservation say they know who killed her, but they've all remained silent out of fear that they may be next. But years would go by and very little tips and leads would come in to authorities. In the year 2000, the show Unsolved Mysteries would feature Jody's story. According to ictnews.org, many threats were made against tribal members who had planned to tell their stories to the filmmakers. One of the individuals that were set to be interviewed called the filmmakers and told them that they had been threatened and indicated that they were afraid to appear on camera. Despite the threats, several people participated in the filming, and Sean was grateful to those who kept fighting for Jody. He had high hopes that something positive would come from this show and that someone would come forward with information that they needed to be able to close this case. But they never did. In an article published in 2015 from CJ Online, it stated that a few years prior, an inquisition took place and several people who may be involved in her death were interviewed. I'm going to assume that this was sometime in 2012 that this inquisition took place. The article did state that there are 3 potential suspects and that the Link and Brown County attorney Kevin Hill believes that the homicide may be related to those employment issues I spoke of earlier, and that whomever took Jody's life is someone who, quote, may have had an axe to grind, end quote. Which I think we can all agree here that that is most likely the motive for her murder. I do not believe whatsoever that this was a random attack. And the person responsible is out there living their life as if they didn't take 2 lives on that November night in 1995. The Kansas Bureau of Investigations continue to investigate this case, but with little to go off of and no eyewitnesses, they're at a standstill and have been for nearly 3 decades. There is a $5,000 governor's reward that has been offered for answers on this case. If you or anyone you know has information, you can call the Brown County Sheriff's Department at 785-742-7125 or the Kansas Bureau of Investigations at 1-800-572-7463. I am hopeful that the authorities will someday get the confession or the answers that they need on this case. Jody and her sweet baby girl deserve justice. Sean deserves justice for his wife and his daughter. He's waited far too long. It's time for the truth to finally come out. Unfortunately, that is all the information I have on this case. I know this was a pretty short episode in comparison to some of the other cases that I cover, but her story still deserves to be told despite the lack of information, and this one really pulled at my heartstrings. Before I wrap up, I want to remind everyone to check the description of this episode. In there, I always share a link to my case suggestion form. I enjoy covering cases that you guys want to hear or a case that you feel needs more attention. I appreciate the time that you guys take to submit those to me, and of course, I cannot promise that you will hear your case suggestion fast, but just know that I do see it. I receive a lot of personal messages asking for different cases to be covered, and sometimes those messages just get lost in the mix. So the best way to make sure that I see your suggestion is to drop it in that link. Also, make sure that you find me on Facebook and join my private Facebook group. You can find it by searching Crime with Holly Podcast Discussion Group. In there, I share all information and pictures pertaining to the cases that I cover, and I also encourage all of my members to share all things true crime. Whether it's a news story, a documentary that you've been watching, a missing persons poster, share it. Let's talk about it. I love nothing more than the opportunity to connect with you guys who come back each and every week to listen to my show. So please engage in the group, be active, ask questions, share whatever you come across, and I try my best to be active back and reply to all comments. And last but not least, check me out on Instagram at Crimeaholly. On there, I post podcast-related stuff, but I also post my day-to-day life and things that I'm doing here in Sin City. Okay, guys, so that is all that I have for this week's episode. Thank you so much to everyone who listened today. Please feel free to share. Jodi's family and friends deserve answers, and she and her unborn baby girl deserve justice. Until next time, always remember to be aware and take care. Bye-bye.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.